kick that off with just asking the question, what do you wonder about? You know, what is that thing that you could imagine maybe God doing for you? This thing that if God would do it for you, maybe now, maybe in 2020, what is that thing that you would just stand in awe and amazement that God did for you? That thing that you could pray and say, God, I don't know how you would do it, but if you would do this for me, it would just change my life. It would be the most wonderful, and I would stand in awe. God is honored when we ask big things of him. Okay, let me back up. Let me rewind. God is honored when we ask big things of him. You know, God is. You know, think about this. I hadn't thought about it until just now. Sometimes when we ask, you know, some things and we minimize things, that could actually be insulting to God. I wonder if God doesn't sit sometimes and say, "Well, you think that's all I can do? Well, you know, that's it." Now, that was kind of the message from last week, and I believe that could be a wonderful thing for some in the room to adopt in 2020 and say, you know what, there is something that I want God to do, and I want God to do it so bad, I don't know how he would do it, but I stand in awe of a God who I know can do it, and you express that to him. That'd be a great thing. However, I also know that, and I knew when I shared the message last week, that there's probably a large portion of the crowd, in fact, probably a majority of the crowd, that doesn't resonate with. That's not a message that they would adopt. In fact, it's kind of one of those where I know if many were honest, we'd say, you know what, God, Pastor, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to set myself up. I don't want to expect something big. I don't want to ask God for these things and then only to be disappointed. See, disappointment comes when expectation is greater than reality. Right? If we ask God for this kind of a health expectation, this is where we want God to take us, and this is reality, we get disappointed. When we say, God, this is the financial experience that I need right here. God, this is where I need to be financially. And reality comes in here and we become disappointed. And there are some who would say, you know, Pastor, I just don't want to set myself up to be disappointed. Now, if that's you today, maybe that's your experience. Maybe it's because we don't realize that sometimes we ask for things, according to James, that are not good for us. And when God says no, we become disappointed. And we think, well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't answer prayers. Well, God answered your prayer. He said no. You know, you asked for this, and he said, that's not good for you. And I love you too much to give you that bad thing for you that you asked for. But that's hard for us to take sometimes, and we become very disappointed because we don't see it that way. We just see it as, maybe God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. Maybe God's not listening. Maybe even, there must not even be a God because I asked for this. And I didn't get it. Now, if that's you this morning, then today's message is for you. Today's message, I have a thought that I want to give to you. In fact, you've seen it. I'm going to tweak an expression that you have probably seen various places. My message title this morning for you is this: not all who wonder, notice O-N-D, not all who wonder are lost. Now, you probably have seen a variation of this. You've probably seen it. Actually, it was J.R.R. Tolkien who first said, not all those who wonder, W-A-N-D-E-R, wonder as in to kind of wander around. Not all those who wonder are lost. It's been adopted, though, by a group of people in our culture that really, I would call them explorers. How many of you like to hike? Hikers take this, have sort of adopted this expression. And you know, people who like to go out and explore. And here's the thing about it. So they've grabbed a hold of this expression, not all those who wander with an A, W-A-N-D-E-R, not all those who wander are lost because they're not out looking for something specific. They're not out going out to see something in particular. What they're doing, though, is they simply like to go out and see what's out there that's the unknown. They're into going out and exploring and seeing, you know, for example, in the case of hikers, they like to go out and see what Mother Nature has to surprise them with. Are you with me? And when I say Mother Nature, of course, that's actually God since he created this world. So people who like to go out and just what looks like aimless wandering to us, to some of us, maybe if they're hiking. It's not. They're actually, they just don't have a pre-designed thing. See, last week I said, what is that thing, you specific thing you could ask God for? What is that specific thing you could beg God for? And you say, God, I'd be so amazed. Well, this today, I'm talking about those who are amazed when you come upon something that you did not expect. Amen. Now, it's not just hikers. How many of you like to go to antique stores? Raise your hand. Now, now look, so what do antique, with people who go antiquing, what are they doing? Are they going in looking for specific things? Not usually. Are they even going in necessarily to buy something? No, not usually. Usually they're going in to steal something. No. Usually they're going in, look, because they just don't know what's going to be there, right? They're looking for something to surprise them. And many times they'll go back to the same antique stores because there are new things there all the time. Do you kind of get the hint of where I'm going with the message today? You know, God also loves people who could get into the fact that it's saying, hey, God, I don't know where we're going to go today. I don't know what we're going to do, but man, I'm sure excited to see what you have for me. Amen. See, how many of you like to go to garage sales? You like to go and see what these people bought last year at a garage sale from somebody who had bought it the year before at a garage sale, and it's made its way full. Some of you are eventually going to find your own stuff, and then you're going to rebuy it. Now, what is it? What are you doing? You're just going out because you just don't know, right? You're going because you just don't know what they have. And you're always disappointed when you get there and nothing but baby clothes. Yeah. But you go and you go and you go. Why? Because you just don't know what might be there. And you're very content. In fact, you're excited. You're not just wondering, W-A-N-D-E-R, are you? You're going wondering with an O. I wonder what I'm going to find. I wonder what these people have that they don't know about. How many of you go to thrift stores? Same thing, okay? So you all have raised your hands more times in my message than you ever have in worship time. So next Sunday morning, just pretend that I'm asking you questions during worship time. But listen, you know, you go to thrift. I just read an article about some lady out in California who paid $20 for some handbag that supposedly is worth $2,500 at a thrift store. That's what you're looking for. You're looking at that, and you go out and you're just sort of, I wonder what I'm going to see today. Now, can I ask you a question? Why can't you do that with God? Why can't we do that with God? And say, God, I wonder what you have for me, without an agenda, without these preconceived ideas. Well, this is what I have to have. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is, you know, and I wonder if we couldn't just do that. You know, so we saw this in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share with you this. We actually saw this sense of wonder, this amazement that people had. You know, the concept, Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, he had huge crowds following him. If you read the scripture, they use the words like multitudes and crowds and things like that. Everywhere Jesus went, there were huge crowds around him. Sometimes the crowds were so big, people couldn't get to the house where he was. You remember, there's a story about that. Sometimes the crowds were so big that he knew somebody touched him, but everybody else was like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. What, are you kidding me? How can you know that one person did that? So he was so surrounded. But what were the people coming out for? Why did he draw such a crowd? A few people came because they needed to be healed. But you know what most of the people were there for? They wanted to see what he was going to do. I wonder what Jesus is going to do today. I heard from somebody else, he healed a blind man, made him see. I heard that he healed a deaf man, made him hear. I heard that he healed a dead man, made him live. You know, and they came out because they didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They didn't know if he was going to do anything. But here's the thing. They wanted to be there if he did. Yes. You with me? Yes. They sort of just decided, I want to be there. You know, maybe, maybe 2020. Can I just propose that maybe 2020 is the year when we kind of be like some of these people are we're about to read about, where we just decide, you know what, in the year 2020, I'm just going to walk with Jesus and see what he does. Amen. And see what he does. and see if he does something amazing in my life. See if he does something amazing in Ann's life. See if he does something amazing in Anton's life. See if he does something incredible that causes me to go, "Whoa, God, I can't believe you did that," in the life of a little church in Delaware trying to reach the lost. So with that in mind, let me share with you a Bible word. There's a Bible word that's used often that literally is translated as wonder. It means to wonder, to stand in awe, to be amazed at. And here's the word is simply, it's the word marveled, marveled. The Bible over and over and over again says people marveled. And there's the Greek word thaumazo, but it literally means to wonder. It means to be in this awe and just say, I just cannot believe what Jesus just did. That's how we would translate it today. So let me share a couple of examples with you. Surprised and amazed. Here we go. The first one. It was the story behind the song that Stephen just so wonderfully sang for us, and we were so thrilled by about these disciples. They're on a boat, and this terrible storm comes up. And by the way, that was on the Sea of Galilee. I wish that I had been able to film at night. While we were at a hotel in Israel on the Sea of Galilee, right on the shore. In the middle of the night, a storm came up, and it was remarkable. There were literally 3 and 4 foot waves on this small lake. It can happen because it's in a bowl, and it can happen that quickly. And so I can imagine what it must have been like for these disciples. But they woke Jesus up, and here we go. Here's the story. So here's what happened. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. After Jesus stood up and he said, "Peace, be still," the waves immediately stopped, and the winds stopped. But the men marveled. The men stood back and said, "What? Are you kidding me?" They marveled. What did Jesus just do? Saying, "What manner of man is this?" Now look, they had already known who Jesus is. They'd been following him. They believed in him. But they were kind of sort of at the early stages of his ministry. And they said, "What kind of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him." They marveled. They stood with wonder. Let me give you another one. Jesus had just healed a lame man who was lame from his birth. In just the next chapter, just a few verses down, chapter 9, verse number 8. And when the crowd saw it, they marveled. The crowds, these huge crowds. Look, when they left their house that morning, they had no idea what they were going to see. They did not know what Jesus was going to do. They didn't know they were going to come across a lame man. They didn't know they were going to come across this guy that they've known couldn't walk from the time he was born, and that Jesus was going to go up and heal him, and he was going to get up and walk. But here's what they did know. They did know that if Jesus did something amazing, they wanted to be there. Are you with me on that? Amen. They said, "I want to be there." If Jesus is going to do something amazing in your life, don't you want to be there? Do you want Jesus to get ready to do something great for you, and then suddenly he's like, where is she? Where is he? Hey, we ought to look at 2020 as the year we decide simply, I'm just going to walk with Jesus and see what he does. I'm not going to ask him specifically. I'm not going to do it. They just marveled. They didn't know what they were going to see. They glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Lastly, let me give you a third one, and then Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 33, a demon had been cast. Jesus cast a demon out, and the dumb man, now that's not talking about a stupid person, that's talking about somebody who can't speak, and he spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." Now, this is just three examples. I could have given you dozens and dozens of examples, and I won't. But I wanted you to see, everywhere Jesus went, people came to be surprised. They came to say, "I just want to be there when Jesus does something big." And so they decided they were going to walk with Jesus everywhere he went. Wouldn't that be a great goal for 2020 for you and for me? Let's just walk with Jesus and see what he's going to do. And see what he might do. So we have these examples. Now, I know if you're like me, you'd be looking at this and saying, "Okay, Pastor, Of course, these people all marveled. They just watched Jesus physically, in person, in the flesh, do something incredible. They just watched Jesus break all the laws of nature and do miracles. He did things that nobody else could do. If I saw Jesus do something like that, I'd be in awe too. I would marvel also. And so I get that. But actually, the biggest story of all of these, I haven't told you. In fact, it's the first time this word marveled is used that is actually a much bigger, much more important, and much more remarkable story than all of these things that Jesus did. In fact, Jesus isn't even the one going to do it. So let me share with you the very first time we see this word marveled. Jesus is in Capernaum. I want to show you a picture. When we were in Israel, we got to see these are the remains. This is actually the archaeological dig of the city of Capernaum when Jesus was walking the earth. That's part of it. In fact, in the distance there, you can see that building. It's actually built on top of what they believe to be the house of Peter, where he actually lived. And so this is Capernaum. So Jesus comes into Capernaum. And it's a town right on the Mediterranean Sea. It's a beautiful place and all that. But Jesus comes into town, and there's a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion. That means he was the head over 100 men, 100 soldiers. And he comes to Jesus. And we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 8. This is actually prior, same chapter, but before the first story that I told you. Jesus came into Capernaum. There came to him a centurion pleading with him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said to him, now watch this. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Now, if you came to Jesus, imagine being that centurion for just a minute. This is your dream. This is what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted Jesus to come, right? Everybody wanted Jesus to come to their house. Everybody wanted to come and have a meal with Jesus. Everybody wanted Jesus to come and heal somebody. And so Jesus says to him, "Sure, you bet. I will come to your house and I will heal him." This is what everybody wanted. But here is the most remarkable thing that happened next. And it wasn't Jesus that did it. It was the centurion. Watch what the centurion said. Verse 8. Then the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." Here's what he was saying. He said, "Jesus, I'm not clean enough for you to come into my house. My house isn't clean enough for you. My house is filthy spiritually. Jesus, I am not clean enough for you to come. Jesus, I don't deserve for you to even come anywhere near me. You would be soiled coming to my house. Coming to me." Now look, that resonates with a lot of us, doesn't it? You see, Jesus actually got along really, really well with people like us. Jesus loved being around dirty people. He loved being around people with baggage. So, but here's the thing. But this man said, "Look, I am not worthy you should come under my roof." He said, "But what?" And this is the most remarkable thing. He said, "But speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Now, you and I have read this probably, maybe you've read this before and it's can become ho-hum to you. If this has become ho-hum to you, if this becomes ho-hum to me, I want you to notice Jesus' response to this. Watch verse 10. When Jesus heard it, do you see that? He marveled. He marveled. He was surprised. Can I ask you a question? Kelly, what would you have to do to surprise the guy who knows everything? Right, Dave? What would you have... Harold? What would you have to do... Hark the herald. What would you have to do to surprise God? To cause God to step back and say, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming." Now look, you say, "Well, that can't be what that means because he does know everything." That's true. But Jesus stood in awe. He marveled. He stood in wonder at what this man said in the same way that you and I also already know some things, but it still causes us some wonder, doesn't it? It still causes us to be in awe. Aren't you in awe every Easter morning when we talk about the resurrection? But you know it's coming. You still stand in awe. We stand in awe when we talk about Jesus coming and being born at Christmas time. We know that's coming, but we still stand in awe. That's how Jesus could know this was coming. But he still said, man, I just can't get over what you did. I'm in awe, Sue, of the statement that you just made. This is what he said. So what was it that Jesus was marveling at? Then when Jesus heard it, he marveled and he said to them that followed, truly I say unto you, I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. Not in Israel. Now, the question is, you know, why was Jesus so amazed by this? I'll tell you why, because he said, this Roman has surprised me. This Roman has shocked me with his incredible faith. Now, what was so incredible about his faith? Well, this basically, and here, please don't miss this because this is the message. Basically, what this centurion said to him was, Jesus, I trust you so much, I believe in you so much, that you don't have to physically come to do something amazing for me. He said, Jesus, you don't have to physically be here. You don't have to physically be there. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. He said, Jesus, your voice, your spoken word can cross all physical boundaries, can cross all spiritual boundaries. Do you suppose that he was even implying that from heaven, Jesus could speak the word and he could do something amazing even if he's not here physically? Amen. That was his point. And that's what Jesus looked at and he said, man, I love that. What amazing faith you have. You see, because everybody else wanted Jesus to come physically. You know Mary and Martha? By the way, I am thrilled that my grandson knows the story of Mary and Martha. Because Debbie taught my grandson the story of Mary and Martha using M&Ms. That's what we're doing in King's Kids, good grief. That's what we're doing in Michaela, forget I said that. Stop laughing at me. But in Kids Zone, we're using things that kids know to teach them things they don't know. And so we used M&Ms to talk about Mary and Martha, and he knows that story. But Mary and Martha, as close as Jesus was to them, Jesus was so close. Mary and Martha might have been the two women he was the closest to, maybe Mary Magdalene and so on. But he was really, really close to this family. And when Lazarus died, you know what Martha said to Jesus? If you had, say it, if you had been here, if you had come sooner, if you had been here, he would have lived. She knew Jesus better than anybody did. They walked with Jesus everywhere, and yet she said, he died because you weren't here physically. Everybody wanted Jesus to come physically. Look, we want Jesus to come physically too, don't we? Would I be thrilled if Jesus came physically and answered my prayers? Sure, I would. Guess what? He's not going to do that. Look, folks, I hate to burst your bubble. You got a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of Jesus showing up in person. Okay? I believe that's true. But this centurion, what Jesus was so impressed by was the fact that this centurion said, you don't have to be here physically. Just speak the word. I trust you. I believe in you. That's the kind of faith that Jesus said blows me away. Blows me away. So this when this soldier said this, Jesus said, you know, your faith is greater than anybody I have found even among my own people. Now, he healed the man's servant, but really, this is the part of the story we really wanted to focus on. So can I just ask a question as I begin to wrap this up? Have we perhaps been too specific with Jesus? Have we perhaps been asking Jesus, I need this in my life, I need this in my life? Have we been scripting out maybe too much in our prayer time? Yep. See, this centurion said, look, Jesus, I trust you, your time, your place, when you think it's best, take care of my servant, please. He said, Jesus, I leave the details up to you. You don't have to be there. You don't have to do it my way. You do it on your own time. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to surprise Jesus? We talked at Vintage Bible Study here not too long ago, and it was Linda Neal actually I posed this question. I said, "What do you think God would do if between now and the end of this year, if His people that are a part of New Hope came to Him every morning and touched base with Him and said, Jesus, I love you. God, I stand in awe of you. You're an amazing God. I thank you so much for everything that you've done for me. I want to serve you so much, and I'm going to do everything I can do to serve you. Have a great day." Don't you think God would say, wait, what? Wait, hey, Michael, did he ask for something that I missed? No, God, He didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for anything. He just said, I love you. He just said, you're amazing. He just said, I'm going to try to serve you today. And I think he was kind of expecting maybe you'll do something, but he's fine with leaving that up to you. What do you think God would do if he looked down and said, so what's going on in Delaware? What's going on in that New Hope Church? They're all coming and telling me how much they love me. They're all coming and telling me how wonderful I am. And not a one of them's asked for anything. Do you think that would shock God? Do you think it would surprise God if we all said in mass, we just trust you? God, you know better than I do anyway. God, I just trust you. We just think you're so amazing. And you'll decide anything better than I would anyway. So I love you. Thank you for loving me. I wonder what God would do. I wonder if God wouldn't step back and say, what is happening there? They've surprised me. Now maybe I should surprise them. Maybe God would look at you and say, you've surprised me. Now let me surprise you. You just walk with me. You just come along with me. Walk with me everywhere I go. Let me surprise you. Now, there are some that would be a little scary for. In this season of wonder, though, can I suggest that as an alternative to giving God a Christmas list? Hey, did you make your Christmas list yet? You know what happens when you make a Christmas list? You know what happens when there's two possibilities, and honestly, one of them's okay, the other one's bad. But neither one of them are great. If kids make a Christmas list and give it to you, and you give them everything on it, you know what you've done? You've just met their expectations. You've just met their expectations. And they're like, yeah, cool, that's what I asked for. Now, I'm not saying they won't say thank you. Alan's saying, give it to them, preacher. So, but he's got 95 kids, so that you can't all have any. In fact, you all can't have anything. Sorry, that's just... There's just too many of you. But look, you give somebody a list, the best you can do is meet their expectations. I mean, I suppose you could exceed it, but probably not going to happen, right? When you ask God for a list of things, maybe He'll meet your expectations, but more than likely, disappointment's going to follow a list, isn't it? More than likely. Now watch. But what happens if you'd ask for nothing? Is God capable of doing more? Is that too general? How about God came to Jeremiah one time. You say, well, Pastor, but we're told we ought to pray and ask for things. That is true. And I talked about that last week. I'm just giving you an alternative because God also said this in Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me and give me your list of things you want. Nope. He said, call unto me and I will answer you if you don't ask me for a bunch of stuff, and show you great and mighty things which, say it with me, you know not. He said, I want to surprise you. I want to surprise you. Don't you want to surprise your kids? Wouldn't you love it if your children, when they were young, didn't ask you for anything so that it could be your idea to give them that brand new PlayStation 4? I mean, that stocking full of candy canes. Look, don't you want to surprise your kids? Don't you want to surprise your grandkids? Really? And God is saying to us, why don't you just walk with me and let me surprise you? I think Jesus just simply says, look, just get me involved in your life. Just walk with me and let me surprise you next year. Let me show you what I can do. You know, I just think that's too general, Pastor, and there are just some things that I know I need. Well, again, this is where I ask you the question. Do you think you can identify your needs as well as God can? Come on, let's reason together, the Bible says. Didn't Jesus say, you know what, you don't need to pray for where to live or what to eat or what to wear because God already knows you need those things. Amen. And he followed that up with, seek his kingdom first and then he'll add all these things to you. See, do you believe that God can identify your wants even if you don't say them? Can God read your mind? Paul thought so. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, not only can he read my mind, but if I don't let it go there, here's what God does. Look at this next verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, now to him who is able to do, now look at these next words, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said he can give you more than you ask for. He can give you better than you think you can ever get. But not if you give him a list. He said, walk with me. Just walk with me. Next year, 2020, start now. Could we maybe just take a new approach with God and say, I want to be in awe and wonder. And the best way to do that is to adopt that same expression that the hikers and the garage sailors and the tinkerers and all of whatever it is that you go out and do and say, you know what, I don't know what's out there. I just know that when God does something, I want to be there. The only way we can do that is to walk with him. Walk with him. Spend a little time in the morning just saying hello to him. Read some out of his word. Try to stay in communion with him all day long. Walk with him. Think about things the way he would. Walk with him and see what it is that he might do. Can we do that maybe as a church? Let me give you the last verse, what he said about church. He said, unto him be glory in the church. In the church. Can I just challenge the church? Can I challenge all of us? Could we corporately, together, all of us, just simply say, you know what, God, I'm not going to pray for anything specific for this church. God, just show this church you love us. Show us that we're on the right track. And we're going to walk with you and see what you have for us. Is that something we could do as a church? Could that be our prayer today? Corporately? Physically? Not all those who wonder are lost.